This is the Ed Milet Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm excited about today. I have a really compelling couple with me. They probably don't need an introduction because if you're on social media, they get millions and millions and millions of views between TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all their platforms. But really, the behind-the-scenes story is going to blow your mind, I'm telling you. And so what you're going to get out of today is one of the most inspiring stories of all time of turning adversity into something amazing. And you're going to get the experts that I know on social media of how to grow your own social media and your own brand. So Ryan and Jennifer Hamilton, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
And cheers. Ryan's not drinking, but Jen and I are going to go chug a little tequila
while we talk.
By the way, this is tequila you sent me.
Yes.
So this was your gift that we're drinking.
That's very, very nice. Casa Dragones, Joven tequila.
It's yummy.
That's a good plug.
That was a good plug.
What do you think? It is great, right?
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really smooth.
It'll be gone before we're done.
Very soon.
Okay, let's get going here. So little context for everybody, if you don't know them, about 10 million followers on TikTok already.
Yes.
6-7 million on Instagram. Is that about right?
That's about right.
About right.
5 million on Facebook.
5 million on Facebook. And just literally hundreds of millions of views of your content.
Yes.
And by the way, we're looking at his actual analytics. I'm telling you, like, legitimately millions and millions of views. They're the real deal. But how this started, if you're sitting there under some adversity right now and you're listening to this, you're watching it, and you're like, I'm in one of the worst spots of my entire life. This couple has created an empire out of something very, very, very difficult that I don't think most of your fans know this story. So
let's go
to the beginning. We're not on Instagram. We're not on TikTok. You're in the desert in Iraq.
Not with Jen yet. Nope, it's just me.
And you're in the military and then you come back. So let's start there.
Yeah. So very unique story. I joined the military. Didn't like school at all. Hated high school.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to go to college. And I was like, I got to get out of here. So I joined the military, 31 Bravo, military policeman, and trained in Fort Leonard, Missouri, got stationed right away in Fort Carson, Colorado, and found out that we were doing a 15-month deployment to Iraq after about 3 months of training. So I was 19 at the time, headed right over to Iraq. There I am. I was in high school. Now I was a gunner.
Wow.
Right away, right into the thick of things. And so that's really, I guess, where the whole journey started. When I was in the military, I was always the funny guy, playing crazy pranks. I would literally, like, in people's boots. Like, crazy stuff. Like, you're going to remember me.
Right.
Like, I was wild. They're like, you're an entertainer. You're an entertainer. Like, and so, you know, after a while, you're sitting in the truck, and it's just 120. And, you know, we were guarding the prime minister, the president of Iraq, you know, outside of the embassy for 16, 18 hours, and you're just talking to your guys with your little headsets.
Yeah.
And after a while, you're like, you know what, you got to do something. They're like, just promise promise us that you're going to be an entertainer. Like,
really?
Yeah. So just, I was so funny. I'm quick.
Yep,
like, it's just
are.
How I am.
Yep.
And so that is really where, like, the whole entertainment thing got into my mind.
But you're 19, so you're high school, bam, now you're literally in the throes of things. And you've obviously always been this funny dude. You just have a brain for seeing the funny in things too, just talking to you. But you get back, your head's not all right, right? Like,
exactly.
You know, this is important for everybody to get. You know, a lot of guys come back from these situations, people, not just guys, and they're a little bit scrambled, or they're, you know, dealing with some trauma or something dramatic. By the way, it's just a lot of people listening to this. This has gone through things in their life, and they're not, everything's perfect.
Exactly.
So you're back in Massachusetts now.
Yep.
Right? And, like, you really are struggling to figure out, can you even leave the house? Like, are you having that hard of a time?
Yeah. I mean, it was the anxiety. They don't teach you. They teach you how to go to war. They teach you all that, but they don't tell you anything about the emotions. You know, adrenal fatigue, anxiety, panic attacks, all this stuff. Your nerves are just fried. You know, you're in a war zone 15 months, and then you're just placed back here. And so I tried to go to college. I couldn't sit in class. I just had these waves of panic coming, which a lot of people out there can relate. If you have panic, you get these crazy thoughts like, what if I'm in the middle of class and I throw up? Like, just weird.
Really?
Just panic is just this weird, crazy thoughts that just keep coming and coming of things that will never really happen. What if I pass out? What if I faint? It's never going to happen. You know, that's really what the panic was.
Yeah.
So I had to drop out of college. I couldn't do it. And then I was in and out of the VA hospital just trying to get out of this cycle of panic. And really what helped, somebody handed me a book one day, and it was At Last a Life by Paul David. And I read the book, and the book literally just told me what panic was. Mm. And all my symptoms and what I was having was in this book.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm not the only one. There's millions of people out there like this.
Wow.
And that was like, I just was driving down the highway after I'd read it, and I had tears in my eyes. I was like, I'm not the only one. So that was like a small breakthrough. I hadn't left Massachusetts for 7-8 years. I didn't want to travel. Just the thought of going on an airplane.
You were telling me that you flew here today. You said 7 years ago, you could not have even flown here.
Yeah, I always think of, like, I've been with her for 6 years, going mm-hmm. on 6 years. So over 6 years ago, before her, I wouldn't have come here. Which, that small breakthrough, what became a big breakthrough is when I met her. So when I met her, she's like, she was traveling all over. She was traveling to Hawaii, Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. and I wanted to go, but mm-hmm. I just couldn't go. And I just couldn't do it. I was like, there's no way, panic.
But it's interesting, because I want to go to where you meet Jen, but like, I want everyone to get this. This is a dude who's come back. He's getting some real trauma that yeah. he's dealing with. And he turns that into, he's like, well, I'm sitting around the house. You start like, I promise these dudes I'm going to be an entertainer. You have to understand something. Most of you follow them, but if you don't, this is the funniest couple in the public space. Like, they bring joy, laughter. And by the way, their stuff is pretty adult. So like,
yeah, yeah.
if you got a 7-year-old, their account, you want to... Probably that's not the account for them. I want to just say that up front. Their stuff is adult humor. It's hilarious. But you need a grown-up to consume it. But, brother, you turn this thing into, you're like, well, I'm going to just start doing some pranks and some YouTube stuff or
exactly.
whatever it was in the beginning, right?
Yeah,
and that's
YouTube.
Grown into hundreds of...
Yeah.
Even if it, like, sitting here, you're in my living room now. Like,
yep.
Does it dawn on you, like, that was not 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You're talking about a pretty short window of time. You become a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Met the woman of your dreams. And you're one of the biggest influencers, if you add up all platforms, that exist in the world today.
Yeah.
Does it dawn on you?
Crazy.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it does. Sometimes we think of it. But I think I'm always thinking of the next idea or video. That's really where my head always
is. You're in the throw of doing it.
Like, just when we were talking with you and your wife, I'm already starting to think of something funny where you're playing the whole, you're my father.
I'm going to be your dad.
So like,
dad.
Which just sucks that works.
No.
Just
yeah.
by the way, the fact that you're accepting of the idea really hurts my feelings.
No, you guys look
I want to stay on this, and I want to go to Jen. So you meet him. He's already got a pretty decent thing going on with prank videos.
Yeah, he was on YouTube. He was videoing all the time. Mm-hmm. When I first met him, he's like, do you even know what I do? And I'm like, no, aren't you just my friend's funny friend? Like, I'm not sure what you do. Mm. And he's like, oh, I'd make videos. And he starts sending me the videos. And I'm like, oh, okay, you're funny. Mm. And then, we started off as friends. And, I don't even know really where to begin.
But what makes it work? Like, I want to know what you think makes this work. We're going to talk a little bit about... I want everyone to kind of grasp this. I think when we met, which was years ago when we first started talking... I saw your stuff, I thought you were hilarious. And then he kind of, if I can just be transparent, reached out to me, said, hey man, I want some advice and someone to visit with. And I'm from Massachusetts originally, you're back there. And then when you told me the story, I was like, brother, you're going to be on my show. We just need to find the right time. I just think it's amazing that someone takes that kind of, I mean, you even worked at a psych ward for a while,
yeah,
right?
I
like
did.
It's
yeah.
it's incredible. And the disparity between that time in your life to now, he knows everybody, but something changed and it went to a new level when obviously you add this beautiful woman to your content.
Exactly,
that doesn't
yeah.
hurt. So now there's the funny with the beautiful. But what do you, Jen, what do you think makes your stuff work? Like, if you were to say one thing, what makes people so captivated by the two of you?
I just think the comedy behind it, the being relatable to a lot of couples.
Mm-hmm.
So relating to those awkward couple situations, if he doesn't clean the dishes, your wife's going to be mad. So yep. just going off of things that are relatable to couples and kind of just...
Well, I want to stay on that. I think that's the key, too. And I think 100%. I think a lot of people... are thinking, well, or Milet got pretty big on social, nowhere near as big as you guys, because he's like a business guru guy or whatever. Like, he has something to say because he's a rich dude. And they discount their own value of what they could be building as a brand. Mm-hmm. Or, some professional actress or football player, well, they've got a big following because they're also a football player, an actress. These are two extraordinary people, but everyday people from real life who started to document funny things about their life. There's success leaves clues, right? So right. I think it's that they do relate to you.
Right.
What do you think, Ryan?
I would 100% say exactly what she said, relatability.
We wear regular clothes. We live in a regular house. We, you know, drive regular cars, kind of. Mm-hmm. And I think people can relate to that and they appreciate it. We just seem like normal.
I didn't want to be a, our fans are like family. I didn't want there to be a separation of, we have money. I got to wear Gucci everywhere. I got to wear this and that everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mostly just wear like sweats and normal Adidas, and you know, she always looks beautiful.
I'm like in a baseball hat sometimes when I'm not filming but and stuff. Just casual.
They're like a family. But what she said, relatability is the biggest key to any content, I believe. 100%. Good. I would say that's the first thing I would say. She took the words out of my mouth. Mm. So that plus the funny things that couples may not say, like being embarrassing like things, especially.
Right.
Yep.
It's always funny when someone makes fun of themselves, like, you know, me farting around, or like that's a very common thing in a relationship, you know, like, oh, and then they just go crazy. Like everyone's tagging their boyfriend, or sometimes the boys are tagging the girls. That doesn't, you know, she's not ripping ass on me, luckily, but I guess there's couples out there.
That
would
be funny though.
Yeah.
But, but you, I think you're hitting it. So I want to stay on this. I think what's compelling about your stuff, it's almost like anti-traditional social. Traditional social is heavy filters. Right.
Yeah.
Look at my jet.
Exactly.
We're having a blast and everything's perfect.
Right.
And so millions of people watch that type of social media content and go, I can't post this stuff. Everything's not perfect.
Exactly.
Right. I am not perfect. I don't have a jet. Why would someone want to listen to my stuff? I actually think in the world, you're proving it. You have way more engagement and followers than people who have jets and helicopters and mansions, because you're documenting the funny stuff of life. And I don't even think it has to be funny. I actually think, if there was a woman who's listening to this and she starts documenting the struggle with getting dressed in the morning, getting her kids off to school. Tell me if you agree with this, Ryan, because you're the guru.
Yeah.
And then like she misses a sale at work and she's on there and she's upset. She goes, I missed work and I'm late picking the kids up. And you almost start rooting, becoming a fan of this person because they document their life. Am I wrong about that?
That's exactly what I would say, which is, you know, we were discussing earlier about, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And of course, I think, you know, when we're having children, I think it'd be great to document, you know, just funny things, like funny things of her being pregnant. You know, there's funny trends even going around right now where the man is taping watermelons to his belly and trying to do everyday things like tie his shoe. But I think millions of people will find it just so interesting and real. Like you said, it's everyday stuff that couples go through, whether it's fighting or different moods or when she's on her period or, you know, obviously we do exaggerate a little bit to add the comedy things, but it's so relatable that they're just,
that's what, to me, that's the funny in your stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't probably post that. It's, they went there.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? That to me, this funny thing.
Cross the line a little bit.
A little bit on your stuff crosses the line, but I just think people aren't getting, like, people want to root for you. They want to connect for you. I think seeing like, and I know this by the way, so I'll post the ocean out there that we're both looking at right now, right? So the first three or four times I did that, people are like, wow, the ocean. You know the truth is? They're like, all right, dude, I've seen your ocean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my stuff that does better is when I'm like, I've had a really rough day.
Exactly.
And here's what I'm dealing with. Like, that's the stuff. And I don't think enough people get there's value in your life documenting. You don't have to create. See, people that follow me, I think it's like, well, I better have a post about how to get motivated, or I better have a key about how to build culture in a company. Eh, why don't you leave that to kind of someone else right now? What if you documented your life in the business that you're building or the family that you're building? So are one of the two of you more comfortable on camera? I'm curious. Like some people I meet that I know that are really big on social, they're one hit, they're just naturals.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know a lot of people, it's like, I've been around, I was surprised. Like I've done their shows like this, and because we just shoot, we don't edit, just shoot it and it goes out. But I've been on other shows where like the host takes 11 times to do the introduction, you know? And but yet it's a very successful show. So I don't think even being a natural necessarily has to matter. I think a lot of people go, well, I'm terrible, it takes me 11 takes.
Yep.
Or how about you guys when you shoot stuff?
Everyone has their style. So, I mean, if it takes someone 11 times, it does. We're very unique when we shoot. We'll come up with a very basic idea, and then we'll have, you know, we have a few different people who will video for us, and then we just kind of improv it after, and that's where our greatest stuff.
That's when the best is made, when it's not planned, when it's more just like random, let's film this, let's do it. And then the ones that we do 10 times filming, those are the ones that don't do the best.
Yeah.
It's always the ones that are just So the easiest.
So
I don't
legit,
know.
Legit. The one where there's itching powder in your panties. Like, yes. That's my favorite one of all time. Yep. But like, that was real?
Yeah, that was real.
That was legit.
That was real.
Same with
and
the
that hurt. Like,
one.
I can feel the pain. That was not. And it happened to my bra, too. That's the one I remember most, the bra.
Yep. She actually put the bra on with the itch powder in it like 2 days
and
later.
I went to
and
the gym and I worked out at the gym and the sweat. No, that's not funny. It was terrible. But yeah, no, that really happened.
So you're improving. So a lot of this stuff, so to me, it's that good and you're good at this.
So. No. So a lot of it is real. But Then, of course, the skits is
there are
us acting and portraying the relatability, which is why they go viral. You know, the relatability is always key. But when we're doing those skits, I can't just sit there and write in a notebook all these ideas. They just come to me and I will write a very basic idea. Mm-hmm. And then when the camera's on, she'll come up with something that would be so funny. We throw it in and then I come up with something. And then all of a sudden you just got a big viral and people are like, wow, this is just.
I want to talk about viral, but I want to ask you this. So there's someone watching this. They go, I'm not funny.
Yeah.
So my thing isn't funny. My thing is interesting. Or my thing is like, I like goldfish or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like my thing is that. Do you recommend they take time once a week, the average person listening to this, and just write out concepts for things they could create like you do? What would your advice be?
My biggest piece of advice is niche. Stay in your niche.
Yes.
Okay. Find a niche and stay. We're a couple. Not going to veer outside of that. I'm a couple. Stay in a niche. If you want to do goldfish, you better
know everything.
Every single thing about the goldfish. Every single thing. Pieces of content every single day. And you know so much about goldfish that if someone in the whole entire world wants to know something or something's going on, you're the person that they're going to contact because they want to know about the goldfish. I think just becoming the best at a specific thing, like niche, me and her, give me something you want. Go give me a rock from your yard and I'll make something viral with your rock.
Great advice.
Sticking with one niche, whether it's gaming's a very big industry or whatever. I think people don't stick with the niche long enough and they get outside of it.
Mm. Right.
I think the niche is like my biggest piece of advice. Find a niche, stay in that niche. You don't have to be funny at all, but you better have knowledge and you better be offering people, you know, something that is worth their time to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my biggest thing.
So if you're a big New England Patriots fan, for example, you better know everything about the New England Patriots
everything.
Or football in general.
I know people that
have
big pages that are fans of the Pats and they just talk about the Patriots all the time. And his social media account's growing a lot. And
that just always ties into other things. If someone wants to go and they want to bet, you're damn well sure that these people that could be millionaires want to go, hey,
great point.
What's up with this? What's going on with the Patriots? Get this guy. This guy's the best.
Yeah, I think of other Massachusetts dudes like a Bob Menery or whatever, you know, like just doing funny voiceover stuff that's led to a gambling sponsor of his show or whatever. So you're totally right about that.
See how it all connects.
You're very, very right about that. That's one of my negatives is that I'm broad. I'm entrepreneurship. Yeah. I'm your body. I'm relationships. I'm spirituality. I'm improve your life. And I think sometimes defining that to me, it's just like your life will be better. That's my niche.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
But to your point, sometimes or fitness, like if I were just in fitness, you know, so that's really great advice, especially when you're smaller, be niche oriented so that there's a following already built for what it is you niche yourself in. That's really, really good.
Exactly.
What else would you say, Ryan? I've met most everybody.
Yeah.
I would say that you are the best expert on branding social media platforms of anybody that I've met.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, so they film, they get into influencer, you know, the whole influencer to marketing and all that. I've been lucky enough to have people like you and, you know, Adam Weitzman, who I mentioned. There's a huge business part, but not just the business, then there's also the algorithm part. So that is like the biggest thing I think people are missing. Remember recently Clubhouse has become big.
Yes.
I think it's on the decline now or whatever.
I was going to say, it seems like the last several months
I've
heard less. I just said that the other day to somebody.
Came in, kind of left. But I would go on Clubhouse here and there, and like people would spend 3 hours just talking about hashtags. Mm. Like a hashtag can definitely help you a little bit, of course, if you're doing it correctly. You know.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I recommend like 3 to 5 hashtags.
Really?
That's my recommendation, not 50.
Why?
Because you have to think of specific, right? I know that Instagram, I believe, allows up to 20. I've never even come into that territory.
Yep.
But when you have all kinds of different things, it doesn't really know where to put you.
Okay.
So you want to keep your hashtags 3 to 5. I usually use 2 really big, like love, couple, then a niche, Hammy TV.
Okay.
And then more not as viral hashtags, a little bit smaller just to mix it up. But I just stick to 3 to 5.
Very good.
Just because you're going to confuse the algorithm. But the point of that is that instead of sitting there talking all this time about hashtags, just go film the content. That's really the biggest thing.
Okay.
And that's one thing that her and I have is we're extremely persistent. We're on a honeymoon, we're still posting.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, we are posting no matter what. We've never even taken 2 weeks off of posting in years.
Not even a week.
Yeah, persistence is the biggest thing.
Do you have a recommendation about, by the way, awesome. So I'd never been told that before. Yeah. I post too many hashtags. Do you have any recommendation about posting? In other words, is there a ratio to followers to posting? Like sometimes I see people with 80 followers have 26 story posts in a day. And I sometimes think that seems heavy relative to that many followers.
Yeah.
But so is there a, do you look at it based on follower to post? Should they post every day? Should it be, if we're talking about Instagram, for example, because we're going to go to TikTok in a minute.
Yeah.
Should it be every day in their main feed, every day on their story? What would you recommend on that?
Definitely post every day.
Every day.
100%.
Okay.
Especially stories. Got to post every day.
Okay.
I do a lot of tricks in our stories. I like to, in the first story, I always like to use like the sliding bar or something that makes them engage. This seems to really get it on the algorithm and it gets a lot more, it's a lot more engagement.
Okay.
There is an explore page for stories still. Mm-hmm. So if you notice all of a sudden your stories are insane, it's getting pushed out. You know, it's an interesting story.
I didn't know that.
Because people can share your story.
Okay.
They can do whatever. So I like to make the first one, like today she woke me up by dumping water on my face.
Yes.
So then of course I put like the little slide in laughing emoji.
Brilliant.
First, right away, first story, everybody's seeing it. It's funny. They're gonna wanna see what else is going on throughout the day.
Brilliant.
Definitely post every single day.
Okay.
But use these engaging tools that they give you. Quizzes. We always put questions and quizzes in our stuff.
You do.
Who's older? What is Jen's ethnicity? Who said I love you first? And give them a little quiz.
So great.
Very engaging. Mm. You know, your stories are the form of a TikTok, right? TikTok is short video.
Mm-hmm.
Stories, I think people post stuff up and they know it's not good. And some people just post it up and they know themselves it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
So don't put it up. Put something funny or relatable again. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just chuck stories up to chuck stories up because they're going to get less engaged.
Do you put hashtags on your stories and hide them?
I don't. I used to. It did work.
Okay.
I recommend that you should do it. Mm-hmm. It's not massive like it was. For a little while, there was an actual place on the Explore page where you could see stories.
Yeah.
And Reels took the place of that.
Okay.
So that's kind of gone. But yeah, you can still kind of show up here and there.
Okay, so first post should have some engagement to it.
Of course, always.
Shouldn't, didn't know that.
Use their tools, the sliding bars, the quizzes,
polls,
the questions.
Quizzes, all those things?
All those things. Okay. You'd be surprised at how many, you know, even people that are watching right now, go out and do it. Ask your fans something simple. Where am I from?
Yep.
We just did, I wish I could grab my phone, the one I showed you with 1 million views.
Yes.
Just a story, a million views on our story.
Yep.
Where are we headed?
Yeah.
Florida, LA,
I saw that.
Or whatever it was.
Yep.
Like 230,000 chose LA, 100 and something thousand in Florida.
Yep. When I'm telling you guys that I've never had anybody on my show, it's some of the most famous people in the world that have the engagement that they have, the real engagement on their social. You're getting this from the best. So, okay, hashtags on stories, yeah, probably do it, but it's not the most critical thing. Engagement on the first stories. Can you post too many things on Instagram stories? Is there a number where, I feel like sometimes if I go to somebody and I see 700 dots at the top of their deal, I disengage or I click through. And you're also, algorithm punishes you for click-throughs, does it not? If someone's clicking forward?
I personally have never heard of that.
Okay, well then I don't want to put that out there if it's not accurate.
I've just been told that. I have not ever heard of that.
Okay.
But of course, rewatches is really going to help as well.
When they click
people
back.
People watch, they're like, like her slamming water in my mouth and face, they're going to go rewatch it again.
Yes.
The algorithm will most certainly, which is huge on TikTok as well, and any platform really, if they're rewatching, that's massive.
Okay, here's what I want to know. Story that's the same theme. So I know we're getting granular here, everybody, but like, I know this is what you all want from my show. So story that's the same theme, meaning I'm talking about palm trees. I'm making it up. It would be more interesting than that. Do you recommend that a story only be one or two slides? In other words, I find that if I'm like, it's a 52-second story, so it's 3 or 4 slides on there, I can see the views drop off oftentimes the longer that I go.
Yeah, I mean, the average attention span is 7 seconds now.
Right.
Okay, so are most of your stories individual 15-second stories?
Individual 15 seconds, almost like if I made a TikTok.
Okay.
Very, like, I would go out, I would show the palm tree, I'd be like, do you guys know what this is? You know?
Okay, so you would very rarely do a continuous story about the same point or same message. Almost never.
Almost never.
Okay.
No.
All right, awesome stuff. And do you agree with him, Jen, on the, I mean, he's very bullish on TikTok. You guys have gone from 0 to 10 million followers on there like this. And so, and I'll let, you know, I'll let Ryan speak to this in a minute, but are you seeing that too? Do you feel like for you guys, that TikTok has become a more viral platform than the other ones?
Definitely.
What do you think the reason is?
I think it's the new hot platform. I know everyone is using TikTok. Mm-hmm. Different age groups too. I think that there's a lot of younger people on TikTok, mm-hmm. but then there's people our age and older on TikTok. There's, I don't know, there's lots of different groups on there.
Yeah.
It's the new hot thing. So.
There's people your dad's age. I'm on there.
So, oh, you know, yeah. Like, and my dad's like, 70, so yeah, okay, you're
yeah,
good.
My dad's 65.
Okay,
so, you're,
so I'm, under the, I'm under the radar there. But I found out, it's funny that you say that, Jen, because I've found lately more of my friends in my demo texting me TikTok stuff to watch than they did even 6 months ago.
I think it's the attention span too, because they're quicker videos. Instagram, maybe the 60-second videos are boring people, and they're like, we want to see the action. Let's go on TikTok and see the stuff that's going to make us laugh or give us the information right away. That, you know,
60 seconds is now too long
to
have
a story.
It's too
long. It's boring people, yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, it's a long time. I wouldn't even
not
watch
everyone.
You would watch a 60-second deal.
It's too long for me.
What about IGTVs? Like them or don't like them? Because they're more than a minute long. Do you think?
I think IG is very lost right now, to be honest.
Okay.
I know we were discussing that a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't really know what Instagram is. You know, they just totally took TikTok, made it into Reels, IGTV for longer videos. They got shopping. My Explore is not really even tailored to what I like. But then you go to TikTok and the precision is just, the videos they're showing me, the AI intelligence is absolutely insane. Every video I'm like, this is gold, gold, gold. TikTok is what Instagram was 3 years ago.
Okay.
If Instagram famous, you now become TikTok famous.
You do.
100%.
You know, Ryan, the other thing that I've seen is that, and I'm not, I'm, follow me on TikTok because I haven't really been really doing much there, but I'm going to do more. I'm also seeing that I have colleagues and friends of mine that have like 80,000 followers, but they can get a million views on a video.
Exactly.
Whereas on Instagram, it's sort of the flip, it's reverse. You can have a million followers and you're happy if you get 80,000
right.
views. So that's the other nature of the content. Is that what you mean by the explorer part of the TikTok?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, this is like
go for it.
It's crazy. Yeah, this is the stuff I love. So right now, TikTok is completely open.
Mm-hmm.
Basically meaning, 3 years ago when we would post on Instagram, Jen and I would gain 40 to 50,000 people from a post. That doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Why? Because Instagram's pay to play, basically.
Yes.
The whole Explorer is way too flooded. They have way too many things, including shopping, Reels, normal carousels, IGTV. It's just too much. Sometimes I get even lost on the app and they're coming out with too many updates, this and that. Plus, of course, the sponsored posts. Sponsored posts went from one in every 15 to one in every four now.
Okay,
so they also took away Chrono. Chrono was the best ever, chronological order.
Yeah.
Why? Because if you have all the good stuff on the top, they're not gonna scroll as much.
Wow.
And you're not scrolling as much, you're not hitting as much ads. Instagram's not making as much money.
Wow.
Everything's money on Instagram.
Okay.
TikTok, none of that exists yet.
Yet.
When you post, we just grew 150,000 last week.
Last week you grew 150,000.
We haven't even been on TikTok a year. We haven't been on TikTok 1 year yet. We're just hitting 10 million. The algorithm is nuts. So when people ask me, how do you grow? And they love to mention Instagram, I say, make a TikTok. Right now, go make your Instagram, go make a TikTok, connect your Instagram to your TikTok, and slam TikTok. The way to really grow your Instagram is from YouTube and TikTok and other apps.
What do you mean by connect your Instagram to your TikTok? What do you mean by
that? So TikTok, you can connect your Instagram.
Okay.
You can, so that way when someone's on your TikTok, you see the little Instagram symbol. If they want to follow you on Instagram, they just click it and boom.
Okay.
So all your traffic that you're, and all the free explore you're getting on TikTok can convert over to your Instagram.
Bingo.
Of course. It's just huge.
Am I doing that? I don't even know if I'm doing that. I need to find out if I'm doing that.
Yeah, you want to, and your YouTube as well. You can connect both.
Okay. Your YouTube can be connected to your TikTok.
Both. TikTok can connect your Instagram and your YouTube, which is constant traffic you're pushing.
What great advice. By the way, the most valuable advice I've ever had on the show on social media by a bazillion miles. is what we're talking about right now. So if you were someone listening to this, recommendation is go get a TikTok, create a TikTok account. Still the advice applies though. Create interesting, compelling.
Of course.
I mean, like I follow this 100%. Lady on there who's a grandma, and basically every day she posts, this is my outfit. And for some reason, I think-
It's the best.
I actually, you know what I'm talking about? I forget her name, but like Grandma Jean, I think, or whatever. Like, I just think she's different than me.
Yeah.
She's not rich. She's 80 something years old. It's just her outfit of the day, but she says it with this, I'm interested in it, right? Yeah. And like, she's got, I don't know, a million followers or something on TikTok.
Crazy.
So there's a space, here's what people are missing. You're making, I mean, let's be honest, they're making millions of dollars now, these two. But I'm from Massachusetts, so there's this thing like, you know, we mentioned Menery earlier, even these stand-ups that you and I know, like the Bill Burrs and these other guys, we're all like Boston dudes, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I have this, it's why you and I connect, I think, like, I just have these things from dudes who grew up like me. So I know how you grew up. Like, these are real people, man.
Yeah.
And like, I mean like real, real. Like not even like upper middle class real. Like real people who have, they're just good people who want to be somebody in their life and they found a niche, to your point, they've become millionaires. But not only that, like this interview today, bro, if you really think about it, you created these millions of followers. You didn't know that at some point when you were doing this, you're now, there's someone that listened to this with PTSD who's now not gonna hurt themselves.
Yeah.
There's somebody living in their house who can't get out. It's like, I'm gonna change my life. Like, you didn't know this while you were doing this, but now you're flipping this notoriety into a contribution and a difference making, not just laughter, which is huge,
exactly,
and entertainment, but like real lives changing.
Yeah.
Like, I think the other thing about the two of you, like, it's like couple goals. Like they just got married, right? But like, I think lots of people, even me, even though I'm advanced as a couple, like I watch them like, that's what you want to be as a couple. They're funny. They laugh at each other. They argue. You know what I mean? Like there's just a massive impact, your content. When you do start to document someday having children and that change in you, is this going to be super miraculous? So if I'm there, what if I say, I'm not good on camera. Do you think blogs are done? Should someone have a blog? Should they have a YouTube channel? What's your advice on that?
I mean, I think you would be better at answering that because she's actually more of the introvert. I'm more of the outgoing.
Yep.
So
yeah, so I wasn't comfortable filming at first at all. But I just, you gotta get uncomfortable to get comfortable. And it was a passion of his and I'm like, well, I guess I'll try it. Let's do it. Let's go for it. And I did it and I was awkward, but people loved it and then they wanted more and more. So I'm like, okay, this is fun. This is cool. Mm. And now this is, you know, both of our full-time jobs.
That's hard to believe that you were uncomfortable doing it. Seeing
very uncomfortable.
Like nervous about even shooting it, you mean, or?
Yeah, I think I cared a lot about what others would say or think.
Yes.
And now I don't care about others' opinions
as
much.
Is that real? I'm gonna challenge you on that. So
that's very
your type
real.
Of content, you got, I get people, my stuff is like 99.9 favorable feedback.
That's
because
good.
It's just sort of the people that follow me are people who want to make a difference.
Exactly.
Or they're overall positive people, right? Yours is more like it's everybody.
Yeah.
So you got people who want to hate, want to talk bad. You know, they're in that fringe part of social media.
Trolling.
Is part of your following. What would you call it?
Trolls.
Troll land.
Yes.
So that you're okay with that now. It doesn't bother you.
I'm definitely okay with that. I think it speaks who they are, not on who I am. You know, like I don't think that's a happy person. If they're going to watch one of your videos that you've made and they're going to draw negativity or say something negative about it after watching it, then like, what does that say about you? Why are you watching it? You don't have to watch us. You don't have
message.
To follow us.
And then you get a message like you watched
there's,
it.
Yeah,
message,
there's
you
negativity
follow us.
All the time. But there, I will say, I think our fans are much more loving than hate. I would say.
Overall.
Our fans are bad.
Yeah, I would overall.
What's that?
For sure.
Our fans are. I wish we could just get them all like.
Yeah.
But that part's not easy for anyone on social media.
But you've learned to deal with it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I don't get a lot. But I'll be candid with you. I'm a 50-year-old man who should not care. But I'm being honest with people when I'll see one, you know, whatever. He's on steroids or whatever the heck they say. You know, like, well, you had to say that about me. You know, like, but I, you know, the other thing I found out, sometimes they'll message you and apologize. Like, hey, man, I didn't know you'd read it. I really like you. Does that happen to you too?
That's why I don't even reply.
Yeah, I don't either anymore.
They just want your reaction.
Yeah, they just want your reaction.
Which is weird.
Which they want attention. They want attention, you know, which is kind of sad when you think about it. It's like, wow, you know, and we definitely went through phases, you know, mm-hmm. it wasn't just like right away. We were like, damn, well, look at this person saying.
Still, I'll see stuff here and there, and I'm like,
it bothers you. They'll comment on your appearance or something like that.
Right, yeah. All the time. I'm just like, whatever. He loves me. Why do I care what that person is saying? Mm-hmm.
It's a growth, though. I want people to know out there that it's a growth thing.
It is.
It's taken us a while to get to where now we're just like, you know, especially like reading. I love to read. And, you know, us being able to communicate together, like, this is craziness, you know, and understanding what hate is. Why are they hating? And, you know, educating yourself on that as well. Gradual process to just accept and like, okay, they're not happy. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's super important because if you're going to go do this, you're going to go through that phase.
100%.
And if you're not ready to take some heat for what you're doing, by the way, some of them are going to be people that work with you that have fake accounts that are just hammering you because they're jealous you're doing better.
We've lost family, friends.
Everything. Social media is a funny place. They don't necessarily see all the work. They just see the beauty and
the funny and the laughter.
Moments. But the work is just, you know, like even just knowing the algorithms and what's going on, and then, you know, you got to be filming the ideas. There's so much that goes on. So social media is kind of a lie in that end.
It is a lie. And I was just thinking of listening to the two of you the whole time. Like, Ryan and I have talked enough and that I knew what a good person you were. I also knew how smart you were. Like, you don't give yourself a lot of credit for this. You're not an average intellect person. Like, you've become an expert at your craft. This is things people don't appreciate. This isn't just because he's funny. He's an expert at the algorithms. He's an expert at when to post, how to post, what to create, the back part of social media and all these other platforms. And then in meeting Jen, there's a goodness and a kindness to her that it's not surprising to me that the two of you are a successful couple. Like, you should be. And I don't think enough people that are listening to this or watching, they give themselves credit. Like, you're a really good human being. You intend to do good in the world. You should be successful. You're supposed to be. It's violates laws of nature if you're not long-term. These two people should be winning. They're great people. They do great work for people. And I'm wondering, like, for you both, what's it like, or can you not appreciate it yet? Give us a little insight, because it's been a while for me. What's it like to, like, step into, this sounds corny, but you stepped into a dream. Like, you've worked your way into a dream. You come back, you're in Iraq, you're a makeup artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Makeup artist, bartender, working multiple jobs.
She's working three jobs at once, making more money than me while I worked in a mental hospital when we started filming.
Picture this. He's back from Iraq, doing some YouTube stuff, getting some notoriety, going through mental health issues while working at a psych ward. She's working three jobs, and now you're famous. Like, you're famous and rich, by the way. They don't want everyone to know this because they still live but very, very successful financially. What does that feel like when you're in the midst of it? Is it like you don't realize it because you're just grinding?
I think, I don't know. I think we don't get a head high from it yet or anything. And we just want more. We want to grow more. I think it gives us more motivation.
My thing is the filming. So if the money just keeps coming. I just keep filming. I just got really good at the craft, and the money just keeps coming for both of us.
And it's
we've always just been filming, and we're just going to continue to film and get better at it. And you know, and then people are like, "Oh, I want to pay you for this product." I'm like, "Oh, what the hell? Like, that's crazy." And
pretty crazy.
So that's actually how I ended up leaving my job. I worked 5 years at a mental ward for the state of Massachusetts, and very mentally draining. And 3 years in, I had some, you know, YouTube was doing well. Mm-hmm. I had learned how to create viral videos with some guys that I had met. Basically how that worked, which is kind of funny. It's very entrepreneurial thing is I didn't know at the time. These guys own big websites, right?
Okay.
They didn't make videos, though. I was on YouTube. They're like, "Listen, we saw some of your stuff. We like it. We think we can help you." So what they would do is I would write scripts with them. I would go out and film it. And they actually write commercials for Coca-Cola. These are experts in engage in hitting these emotions. So I'm refilming and filming stuff again and again. I would post to YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. They would embed my video on their website, and then they had a big Facebook network.
Okay.
So they would share the embedded story.
Yeah.
It would go viral.
Yep.
I would go viral.
Yeah.
The views would rack up. And at the time, I didn't realize they were making a lot of money from the video. But in return, I was getting this knowledge.
Yeah.
And these guys really helped me craft in what I do now, telling stories and doing all this psychological stuff that we do and relatability. And literally, I would refilm stuff 50, 60, 70 times. Then me and her, our first video popped off. It was a female Viagra video. It was hilarious. Like, everybody and their mother shared the video. Like, 50 Cent, all these people. It did 250 million in the first week views.
Oh, my gosh.
On Facebook, yeah. And that was our first video.
I was like, they're not going to want to see me. And then I was like, oh, it's your biggest video that you ever did. Like, that's crazy.
This is what it's hard to process. I don't think people understand the reach still. We're all in the midst of living in these times.
Yeah.
A great movie will get 20 million people to see it.
It's crazy.
250 million in a week. Like, can you... You said to me earlier, we were sitting outside, you're like, every business can benefit from having some sort of social media presence. Why is that?
Right now, just for instance, rappers, right? I look at their pages, their engagement, they got 10, 15 million. Their engagement is terrible. They're posting stuff nobody not engaging. It's boring. This rapper comes out with an album. Your engagement sucks, right?
Yes.
Nobody's even seeing your stuff. What happens if they treated their Instagram correctly and their engagement was up? Your album sales are going to quadruple, triple just because more people are seeing it because you're utilizing your stories correct. You're posting correctly on Instagram. Mm. So your little photos are going from 200,000 to 1.2 million just by being interesting and funny. Mm. These people are not using Instagram properly and they're not getting the engagement because they're not using it properly. So when they drop an album, which is so important, obviously, where are you going to promote it? On your Instagram that you've been treating terrible or that's not engaging at all. So these things are absolutely crucial for actors and all that. Like you said, we get a million story views on average. Our stories on Instagram get a million views. Blows people away, right?
Blows me away.
People with 10, 15, 20 million don't even get 500,000.
Correct.
Because they're not engaging. They're not putting stuff out. It's always important, especially a business. When I meet people, I'm like, what's your Instagram? Oh, I'm a photographer, a videographer. And nowadays, social media is a resume.
It's a resume. Whoa.
I think so.
If someone comes to you, Ed,
you're right.
I'm looking for a photographer, videographer,
You
know, you and your wife. And they come with a normal resume and you read it. Compared to someone who comes and has 500,000 followers, decent engagement, and here, look at this.
Yes.
Who are you going to choose?
No question about it. And the reverse is also true. You could be just a regular, you go, well, maybe I'm not. When I meet you, I'm going to go check your Instagram page to figure out who you are.
Exactly.
So how much credibility do you have? What do you post about? What's your life like? So it's 100%, 1,000,000,000% true that you better treat it with respect, as you've said it, in every single way. Whether you get a bazillion followers or if you got 2,000, that stuff better look like you want it to look, and it better reflect who you want it to reflect. And I think that's the thing about, listen, people that are watching from my, so there's two audiences watching it. There's your audience. Mm-hmm. And they're going, whoa. Part of your own audience is going, wow. There's a depth. There's a one-dimensional sometimes view of us on social media. Your point where you said social media can be a lie to some extent. It's a part of our life, a version of our life. And then there's my audience who's going, this is this brilliant, powerful, beautiful couple who's got all this information. Then they're going to go watch your content and go, no way, right? They're going to go, whoa. They can go the other direction, right?
So exactly.
It's... I think that's important, though, that you, I think the other thing on social, Jen, you speak to this for a minute, you gotta be willing to show parts of yourself to some extent that maybe you are uncomfortable with just to keep it compelling, right?
Exactly.
It can't just be all the same thing all the time.
Yeah, you can't. People wanna relate, and if I'm trying to be a supermodel the whole time, they're gonna be like, this girl's fake, this girl's not real. They wanna see me in sweatpants. They wanna see Ryan slap my see me get mad. Be real. I think, you know, it works for us.
That's the thing that no one's getting.
It works for us.
You're the most popular, some of the most popular people out there by literally being real. And if you go watch almost everyone's social media, it's the same stuff.
Yeah, right. A lot of it is, yeah.
Right, Ryan? Give me one more layer of little, I'm picking the best brain out there. Mm-hmm. What other thing? Someone's listening, they're like, all right, dude, I got it. Okay, I got to get on TikTok. I'm not. I needed to feed my Instagram. Exactly. I need to keep my hashtags to a minimum. I need to do engaging stuff on my stories. I need to do compelling and interesting, valuable content. This is all really great info. Is there another thing you'd go, okay, I'll give you one more thing. If I were coaching you, which would cost a fortune at this point for you to coach somebody, what would another thing you would layer into somebody?
Well, it's actually, these people are getting double value because what I'm telling them right now costs a fortune that these businesses pay me because they want to know.
Yep.
this stuff that I can look at an Instagram in 2 seconds and start fixing it like that. Yep. I can grow. I work on some very big Instagrams mm-hmm. that we've talked off camera that I can't really discuss. But I think the next thing would be consistent posting, 100%. Don't be scared. Nowadays, we live in a great world where you can just use your iPhone. Yep. I used to have to use cameras like this. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's got the phone, right?
Yep.
Just film it. Film it and post. And guess what? Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook are free. Mm. They don't charge you to post. So why would you not post?
Isn't it amazing how much we take that for granted, bro?
Crazy.
It's free. And so its value is diminished. What about captions? Do they matter?
Captions, of course, matter. Anything. Good. I spend sometimes an hour, 2 hours on a thumbnail.
The thumbnail is most important.
Very, very big. I've had...
Tell. I know what it is, but just for the verification, what's a thumbnail?
So a thumbnail is the image that you're going to click.
Yep.
So the image of a video or... Yep. Typically a video. I mean, it's not going to be a picture. Mm-hmm. So it's that screen grab, which mm-hmm. oftentimes we actually will take an entirely different thumbnail.
Beautiful. We do too.
Yeah.
Say that again. So everybody, I'll let you say that again. This is because that's worth repeating. The thumbnail is the grab on your screen, whether it's a YouTube or your Instagram or whatever. This is big right here. Because sometimes what you posted, there may be nothing that grabbing in the actual video.
Exactly.
So what do?
You just stage the thumbnail, 100%.
Yes.
Because why are you going to, you can have the most viral video ever, but if you don't have a good thumbnail, they're not going to click it anyway.
Yeah.
And I've actually split tested. I split test thumbnails, which there's little, if you go on Google, you can search split test thumb, where people will, you know, you upload 3 or 4 images that you think are good and they'll pick, vote, which is the best. And I'll take the one that's the best, which is usually the one I think.
Yep.
And I'll ask Jen, I'll be like, what do you think? I'll send her some. She'll be like, oh, this one or that one or the color. We like to wear bright colors as well in videos. It's just another trick. Bright colors catch, not black or darks. You know, bright colors are always very important. But I've actually seen a difference of a video get 300,000 views with a bad thumb and then get 15.5 million views with a good thumb.
No way.
Don't rely on your video for the thumbnail. Just go damn stage the... We stage thumbs. I've taken thumbs that don't even got to do with the video.
No, it's brilliant. I looked at my page the other day and I'm like, that's kind of ugly. Like some of my thumbs like, you know, like it's not even an actual thumbnail. It's just the worst part of me in the middle of a sentence.
They just put it like that automatically.
So I'm going to tell you, I had a friend of mine who did the same post over a year difference.
Yeah.
This is how brilliant you are. And it was of her daughter, like, being unmanageable.
Yep.
And she didn't have a lot of followers. The first one was a thumbnail of, like, just, it was a shot of them in the kitchen with her daughter. It was nothing. The next time she posted it, which was a year later, she just reposted something. It was the same exact video. She took a thumbnail that wasn't a video. It was this close-up of her daughter screaming, crying. This hilarious, red-faced, teared. And that one did like 800,000 views, and the original one did like 6,000 views.
Wow. Exactly.
And it was the thumbnail because people started spreading around this thumbnail picture.
Huge tip. Don't spend all that time on the video, which sometimes people out there have amazing videos, but the thumbnail is just as important as the video because they're not gonna click if you don't make a good thumbnail. Don't worry about staging it. I have thumbnails that have nothing to do with the video and not even one person comments about the thumb. It's the most crazy, psychological thing I've ever seen. She's not even wearing the same stuff.
I'm not even wearing the same outfit.
Nobody
it's not even the same
says
day.
Anything.
Okay, this is good.
But I need people to see the video. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not tricking people.
Yeah.
They're not. I think one thing, keep in mind though, don't use a thumb for bad content. That's when you'll get stuff. I'm saying we create very good content, so they're not mad that we might have clickbaited a little bit. It's called clickbait.
Yeah.
But then they watch and they're like, this is gold. This is good.
Yeah.
But you know, definitely the thumb is very, very crucial, important. And then the caption, like you said, is very important.
Long, short, doesn't matter.
Short, to the point. What is it? What's going to happen? If right now I'm doing a caption on the show, I'd probably just make something funny, right? If this was my show right now, I would probably have you add something in funny with cheating.
Yeah.
And it would be like, Hammy TV tells Jen about cheating, even though that's not even what the hell it is.
We'll go
but
like
they're gonna
bonkers,
wait, they're gonna click, they're gonna watch.
What if that did happen though? So what if something really major happens in your relationship? I'm curious.
Oof.
Cheating, a fight, a massive fight. Like, brother, I've been in a relationship a long time.
Right.
Of course.
She moved out for a week, whatever. You together 30, 40 years, there's gonna be some stuff, right?
Yeah,
like, what would you, I know. Married like 5 weeks ago or whatever it was, right? So, but what would you document that or you wouldn't?
I mean, first off, we really don't and have not had a big fight in 6 years.
No, I haven't moved out yet.
Stick around.
It's been 6 years.
I'm not saying you're going to move out.
No,
you're
going to
have a big fight.
No,
everyone
right.
listen to this that's a little bit. You're going to have
it's
a big fight.
It's a human, right. We're both humans.
Right.
It's bound to happen.
Right.
But, you know, keeping the communication is everything and loyalty
Huge.
Is everything. But if you ever cross the line, I don't know.
Yeah, no cheating. Yeah, you've seen the
video.
You'd
see the video.
That
I'd
thing
be like,
would be gone. I don't want
to. You would. I think it would. Would you for real, would you let people in on real stuff like that? Or is there like a line where you're like,
see,
man, not that
honestly,
one.
I'm much more of a private person, so.
Yeah. That's fascinating that you're a private person, by the way. Go look at the Instagram for TikTok.
People don't, they're like, you're an introvert, you're what?
You are an introvert, though.
I'm like, no, I really am. I don't know. I think it is great when people are strong enough to share their stories of he cheated it, we're working through, or I cheated, we're working through it.
I think after we would. I think after we would share it. Definitely if something,
if we stayed together.
None of the cheating stuff would happen, but like
yeah.
a big fight like that, I think 100% we would discuss it later on. Like we've had a fight like this. Even right now, if we had a big fight we could talk about,
mm-hmm.
we would, but we communicate so well that we don't get to any of those points.
Yep.
We get your normal nagging like, that's mm-hmm. normal, get out of my face, whatever.
Sure.
Right, get
you
out
know?
Of here.
Sure.
But
yeah.
she's got her set of friends, I got my set of friends. We're very good at communication. But
how have the friends responded to you guys? I'm curious. Like, I know what it was like for me when my life changed compared to my peer group.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's been challenging. That's definitely it, for
yeah,
sure.
I think you would understand the...
I do, but I want them to know a little bit. Like,
yeah, social media makes it... of course, we, you know, and I try to make a point as well to tell people it's not all... glorious and fun and
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean your friends list dwindles. It's
yeah.
gonna dwindle. People
say, what are you guys doing? Why aren't you working anymore? You look so stupid online. You guys are never gonna get a regular job again.
Keep
you guys
in mind,
aren't
we don't flash
make
money.
It.
That's not our thing.
Right.
People literally come up to me and go, do you make money off of it or
do you even make money? Yeah. They're like, what do you and we're like, yeah, no, we do and you know, we're humble about it. We're not people to brag.
We don't say
brag.
A word. We're just like, yeah, we do it full time. They're like, wow, like, how do you survive?
Yeah.
I'm like, we're
right.
doing okay.
Yeah.
But they don't, you know, they don't understand.
Yeah.
But no, it's definitely challenging. People will
friends.
Doubt you. People will judge you, especially people closest to you, I think. And that's when you realize who is your sincere friend group or your person that is genuinely rooting for you. I've had friends that... I'm not friends with anymore, and I've been friends with them for 12 years, and I'm mm-hmm. not friends with them anymore because they didn't support us. And I'm like, if then what kind of friend are you?
Right.
I don't need you in my life.
I think my biggest thing would be when I first started making videos, they made fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have millions of fans, and there's people that still make fun of me.
Right.
Mm.
But nothing could ever trump me making the videos. Like, I love doing it. That's what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had let people talk me out of it, how can I put this? All the people talking bad about me, family, friends, I mean, they're all gonna do it. It still would not cause me as depressed I would be if I didn't pursue this, if I couldn't film. If I couldn't film, I have to film, like I love to film.
Is that the thing that's kept that thing away that you had before?
Yeah, it's a huge part of it. So, I mean, we were talking earlier, and she was a traveler. And so she's like, if you're gonna be with me, we're gonna travel. She went to Hawaii, went to Puerto Rico, and I was telling you, I wish I could have gone. I'm looking at her photos, I'm like, I wish I could have gone. That thing kept me there. Finally, she's like, if you're gonna be with me, we're gonna travel. And she booked Mexico, which is where we got married, I was telling you earlier. And so she booked Mexico. I was so scared. To all the people out there with anxiety and panic, they know that feeling, like, what if I'm on the plane and I get, like I said, like all crazy, crazy thoughts. And that's panic, that's the panic cycle. And, you know, months ahead of time worrying, you know, what if I have a bad spell over there? I can't go to a hospital, I can't see a doctor. I got on the plane, I was oh my God, I was so scared. And we did it, and we arrived, we landed, and it wasn't like the emotion just went away, but then we just went on the balcony. And I literally just started crying
Did
on the
you?
Balcony. I was like, that broke the anxiety. That so getting uncomfortable. And like every time.
It's like, look where we are. This is, life is amazing. Let's, you know.
And anxiety held me back for so long. I didn't leave the States for 8 years, not even my state, Massachusetts. And then we did it. And that was what really started it. And that's why Mexico is also so close.
So important.
It was a breakthrough, man. Like,
it's beautiful, bro.
I'm so comfortable now being uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah.
You have to get comfortable being uncomfortable 24/7. And if I'm starting to get comfortable, I need to go do something that's just going to be throw me off. And that's what it is. It's the human mind is just crazy. But like, yeah, I mean, that was what really started everything.
Then. Brother, the fact that it just doesn't dawn on you because you're it, both of you. So it just, you can only have some appreciation for it. But as a friend and someone, I get emotional. I don't know why.
Like, yeah, so am I. It's always hard for me to.
Just like, I'm proud of you. Like,
I do too, the fact
that someone who struggled with anxiety to the point where they can't leave their state picks a business where you're the most exposed and vulnerable, showing your life and putting something out. Is it funny? Is it not funny? Do they like it? Do they not like it? And this is the same person who can't basically leave his town.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable. But what you've accomplished and what you've become, and I'm really proud of you.
That's her. I always, this part always.
Aw. Yeah, no, it's teamwork.
She's a beast. She's a beast.
Look at you, you little crybaby.
I know.
People don't know this side of him. He's very sensitive.
I am, but her is like that.
He's so cute.
Yeah, she got me. That was like the biggest thing. Yeah. Mexico, and I broke through. And there's so many people out there with your anxiety and panic. There's so many people out there.
But yeah, get uncomfortable to get comfortable. Yeah. And if you want something, if you have a vision, stick with it and work hard at it. And
I remember when we were in Mexico, don't get me wrong, there's not going to be a point where you're just like, anxiety, poof, gone. No, there's a lot of work. I mean,
he reads, he does meditation every day. He works on himself every single day.
Like, I've read your routines as well, like the showers and all that. That is my thing. Like, I don't care if my flight's at 4 a.m, I'll get up at 2:30. Every day I have my affirmations, I give thanks. I meditate 30 minutes, 40 minutes, sometimes twice a day. And then reading has been a huge thing, like a massive thing. But like, you really can break it. And like, people are out there with anxiety and panic. It's not easy. It's so uncomfortable. Go do something uncomfortable. Like, like I was saying, in Mexico, even after the balcony thing, I still had anxiety, like even going on like excursions into the jungle. And we were gonna take a ferry to Cozumel, where lo and behold, we actually got married, but the water was rough and there was throw up on the boat. And I was still had some anxiety. I was like, I can't do this. And she was like,
we gotta get off the boat.
And that was on the first trip to Mexico. I think it's important finding someone that also can understand.
Understanding.
And speak to them about it. I think speaking to them about it has helped me so much. Like, I'm feeling anxious.
That you trust her enough that you can speak to her about it.
I've never met another guy personally that is as communicating and wanting to work on himself and learn more about what's wrong and try to fix himself, or, you know, the problem, anxiety. I've never met a guy that's like that. He's very communicating, and it's great.
That's one of my favorite things ever said on the show, right there. That people underestimate their ability to change themselves. They do.
Yeah,
they underestimate it.
So
that
strong,
how
like
willing he is to change and to grow. And that's the part, like, okay, the end result is millions of people and unbelievable celebrity and money, but that's not the part that I admire. The part that I admire is this is a person, a couple, who changed their life. Like, changed literally. You'll never change the core of who you are as a good person with good intentions and kindness. But you can change these things about you that hold you back. You can change things about you that limit you, that you don't like about yourself. And when I also know how difficult it is.
That's what I was going to add. Yeah.
And so when I meet someone like yourself, bro, who's done it, I admire it deeply, you know, because I feel like maybe a little bit I've done that myself.
Of course.
And I think it's beautiful that when people see someone like myself or you guys, they go, wow, like, they've struggled with lots of things like I have, maybe more things than I have in some cases. So if they can do it, someone with anxiety's career is in the public. Like, that's crazy, right? Like, that's crazy.
It is.
You know, you should be. Three things struck me today about you guys. One is I knew, but your brilliance. So one is that. Two is your amazing goodness as a human, Jen. I mean, this is, not to be goofy, but God brought the two of you guys together.
Thank
you. Your brilliance and the science of what's made you successful.
Yeah.
her incredible goodness and your reluctance, by the way, your willingness rather to change. Someone who's introverted. I'm an introvert, yeah. So I know what it's like when the camera goes on. I know right. what it's like when people are looking at me. I know what it's mm-hmm. like to wonder if what I'm saying is interesting or good enough or
yeah.
whatever. And so for you to then couple up with a dude who's like, well, if you're going to do this with me, you're going to travel. But yours is, if you're going to do this with me, we're going on camera
yeah.
all the time and you're going to be exposed
there.
Constantly.
Right.
And then the third part is probably the depth of how much I'm now rooting for you. And I get your fandom now. You know, I get it. Like, I want to see the two of you succeed. And I'm kind of giggling internally the whole time because there's such depth to the two of you.
Yeah,
and
wild.
Then my audience is going to go see this content and they're going to be like, it is the most, it touches into the, I don't want to call it easy humor because that's not right, but it's yeah. like stuff that we all will agree is funny, but it's very adult stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there's this multi-dimensional aspect to you that I know your own fans don't know until most of what we're going to do
right.
today.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's very, that's part of, you know, what we are. We like to play the line and, what couple this, everything we say, I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it. It's just, it's funny that it is sexual humor, but then when you go on Instagram, there's girls that show 50 times more.
Oh.
Now, don't get me wrong.
50 times more.
Like we were discussing, we have an OnlyFans. There's no yeah. pornography.
No pornography.
No, nothing like that. Yeah. I think over time, Instagram and TikTok and Facebook has really gotten more and more strict with the content that you're able to create.
Yeah.
And that started playing with my creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like we said, yep. you know, adult stuff, adult yep. humor. Sometimes I want to do something that's real crazy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like we said, there's a lot of people on OnlyFans they don't realize that are non-adult, that are not doing porn, that are not doing right. any of that stuff.
I think people hear that, though. That's the first thing they
of
think.
Course.
Even when they knew you were coming on, they're like, they have an OnlyFans.
Yeah.
I'm like,
100%.
Okay, no one's naked. Just
yeah.
show it up.
Yeah, 100%.
And what I think we're overcooking the adult nature of your stuff, too. Like, I know that's more adult than the Instagram stuff, probably.
Yeah.
But look, you go see any of my great stand-up friends. The gnarly way
yeah.
that people are funny nowadays is just, that's just the way that it is. So don't be
yeah.
so sensitive. And
right.
if you're in my audience, you're going to go watch their stuff and you're going to follow them. And then half of you don't want anybody to know you're following them, you know,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's hilarious
yeah.
stuff.
It's very relatable.
Yep.
Ting of sexual, sometimes not sexual, sometimes it's very relatable.
But yeah, OnlyFans isn't as restricting.
OnlyFans is the non-restricting. It's a really great way to seriously, if you want to generate income.
Yeah.
I'm nothing against any of the sex workers
yeah.
or any of that at
yeah.
all, which
right.
is what it got, you know, is known for.
Right.
But people, regular influencers can make a lot of money just off of subscription base, just
off
are. Of there.
And by the way, like, you got to be able to monetize what you're doing. So if there's a place that's limiting your expression and you can
right.
express
it's
more of it,
platform.
There's stuff that's awesome, you guys. It's stuff like this beautiful woman will bend down in front of him. He's got a debate. Do I watch the football game or
yeah,
do we go do what married couples do? Like,
exactly.
it's stuff you debate every day. It's awesome. And they do it in a funny way.
Slapping
it's like,
their booty. It's just
yeah,
normal,
it's just,
funny stuff.
It's stuff you all are doing around your house
yeah.
all the time. And just, you don't have the guts to put it on social media and make it funny like they do, which is fine. Maybe that's not your
yeah,
type of
course.
Content.
That's why, you know, that's our content. That's my style. That's our style. That's what we do. That's why I think they don't find it anywhere else.
Mm.
And I think people really are overlooking the actual power of OnlyFans because
mm.
of that
mm-hmm.
that image.
Stigma.
Stigma,
right.
yeah, 100%. Yep,
stigma.
I think the stigma is, yeah,
too. I was
same
like,
thing.
We're not going to be, and then he's like, no, it's very, like, all the entertainers are going on it. It's another platform.
There's a lot of entertainers on there that don't do anything in that way at all. Let me ask you guys this last two questions. Answer them together. One, are you happy? You, in your case. I think, Jen, you're happy.
Thanks.
You know, we were talking about couples and stuff, too. I think that I say often sometimes in my relationship, my wife is easily happy. I am harder happy, meaning like it's
yeah.
more stuff has to be going right for me to be
yeah.
happy than an average person. I know that's silly and I teach otherwise, but it's just, I'm just being real. Like, you know, some people are naturally, there's a lower threshold to what needs to be going on in their life to be happy. Some of us, there's a higher threshold, right? So
right.
you remind me that way that your natural state is happiness and bliss.
She's got a lower threshold.
Yeah, lower threshold, and yours is higher, like mine, right? Yours is crazy. So are you happy? And then secondly, both of you, What advice, last thing, forget social branding, whatever it might be, what advice would you be anybody listening to this who wants to become you, meaning they want to make a dream come true, they want to be an, they want to be a musician, they want to open up their own yogurt stand, they want to have a big social media account, they want to open up a charity, whatever it might be, are you happy? And B, what advice would you give to people who want to make a dream happen? Either
so,
one of you first.
I mean, I can go first once. Okay. So I'm 100% happy. I think I'm like you. Mm-hmm. I always have these goals, and sometimes I can definitely get, you know, if an algorithm's killing me, you know, I know a video is viral and the algorithm kills me, or, you know, this or that, Instagram crashes. But I just know that if I keep going, no matter what, when you just keep going, you know, it's like throwing against the wall. Eventually it's going to stick.
Yeah.
I know another big video will come. I know, you know, I'm getting to do what I love, which is create. So I'm smart enough to realize and know this now. And I'm definitely very happy. These are some of the happiest moments, I was telling her, of my entire life, the last few years.
Good,
with
brother.
The travel and way, like, no anxiety anymore. Like, I can do whatever now.
Wonderful.
Again, given my routines and what I do. I don't drink. I don't like to smoke, you know, but that's, anybody can do whatever they want. That's
sure,
just
not
me.
Your thing. That's awesome.
That's just not
I'm
my
glad
thing.
You said that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, what was the other question?
The dream part, but I think
oh,
you
the
answered
dream,
it.
Yeah,
I think
the dream,
you're answering it.
I mean, I always like to use this analogy. I can't remember who told me this, but you know the pool noodle? Can you imagine that guy telling somebody that he's going to make the pool noodle, you know, at a party? Like, I'm going to come out with this pool noodle, man. And everyone's like, dude, what are you talking? And now he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Great
any,
example.
Yeah, like, I,
that's
no
a great
idea
example.
Is, no idea is dumb, right?
Yeah.
You're going to get criticism no matter what, it is, especially if it's something new. 100% you're going to get criticism. Like, it's going to happen. Judgment's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the best part is the growth that you get out of everything. Mm. So no matter what it is, no matter what, if you're consistent, I really think, and you love it, if you love what you do, I think that anybody can do. And it sounds so dumb. It sounds like
it
something you always hear, but like it's really
it. The pool noodle is a legit great example of that. You'd be like, you idiot. Are you out of your mind? The guy's a billionaire now, right? That's awesome.
Your idea might sound crazy.
Yep.
Like it might sound crazy, and it will, but just you won't know until you do it, you know.
What would you add to that, Jen? Are you happy, and any advice you would give?
Yeah, very happy. Life is funner these days. It's getting easier. You know, we're just growing, but I'm excited for more and to grow more and bigger goals and with ourselves and to reach the goals and just.
Does it surprise you think that? Like, if I'd have met you 7 years ago, would you think you'd be sitting in my living room going, I'm excited to grow more and do more? Like, was that like your MO then, do you think? Or is that
I've always been a very hard worker. So very hard worker.
Sure.
If I want something, I'm going to have three jobs if I need to get there. And if I, you know, whatever needs to be done to work hard and get your goals done.
She's house hunting now. It's time to buy a home. We're looking in Florida. So
you told me
that. That's
really
her
happy.
Biggest. I think that's her biggest. And she can basically do it all. I just give me as long as I have an office.
You want to keep cranking and creating.
As long as I can be in Florida.
Yeah, I think we need to right
she's
now.
She's
going to
get the
time.
Real estate agent, and she's going to handle it. But that, I know she's really big on the house. The house is.
And people can't get carried away once they start getting big. And once the cash starts flowing in, some people get out of control. They're spending their money going on $20,000 vacations or buying all these things. And it's like,
you're so right.
They're just things.
You weren't on the call, but when he called me, one of the things that he and I had talked about is some financial advice. And I'm like, one of the most, you're so brilliant, by the way, because I don't think you were on that call. And one of the things I said to Ryan was like, hey man, it's one thing to save money. It's another thing that once you get a stack of it, to resist the temptation of blowing that stack on something stupid to impress other people who aren't going to be impressed and are going to hate on you about having it anyway.
Yep.
Right.
So I think a home where you live and raise a family, in my opinion, is an exception to that explanation, because you're going to use it to do something other than just show off. You're going to actually live in it and raise a family there. So
I agree.
I'm so grateful that we did this today, but I'm really grateful we did it in person. Which is what your recommendation was, Ryan. And I'm really glad, like, always really respected you and admired you and was proud of you. But this is a different level today. I told you privately when we were talking, you know, I'm
You as well. I mean, like I said, I listen to your stuff all the time. It's on my Spotify playlist.
Thanks, man.
They take your clips. There's one that I really like where you kind of snap.
Yeah.
Like, because you're more of a subtle person. But this one, I'm not sure you would know when you hear it what it's from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah.
Particularly no, but you were this one.
Well, it's kind of like you though, bro. There's me, and then there's the magnified me. And you put me on a stage
or
in an intense environment, there's another part of my personality that's revealed. Humans are multidimensional, right? Like I'm really, when I do the show, just so everyone knows, like I'm really chill like you are right now, but that's not my natural disposition. People that know me are like, this is an intense dude.
I think that's why it makes it better. You know, like, I think that's why it makes it better because I discovered the show.
Right.
But then when I got this clip, you know, I'm getting ready to work out and you're like, you got this many seconds and like, you're stepping it up.
Right.
I'm like, damn, Ed's actually snapping off in this. Like,
right.
And then I'm listening,
that's
like,
motivated.
I start getting goosebumps. So I'm like, damn, like he's,
but
this is
I love that part of it. Like in your case, like there's this hilarious dude and this beautiful woman who's hilarious. And then you meet them and oh, lo and behold, they're brilliant and kind. Like people are multidimensional. So in my case, I love humans. And I hope I'm a kind person. And then there's that other part of me that I'm a man, right?
Yeah.
And I'm intense and I'm passionate. And, and you know, that side of me is probably at least as important in developing some success, my competitiveness and my intensity and that part of me. You know, we all have, you know, different energy. We'll have positive and negative, feminine and masculine. And
exactly.
It's good to see all of yours today. I can't imagine someone listening to this today and not rooting for you, not being grateful they spent this hour with us or watching it. They were inspired. They learned. They've got insight. This is why I do the show. Like, I'm super.
And for free.
What's that?
All for free.
And for free.
And they're
free.
Getting everything that.
And for
it's
free.
It's crazy to think that.
Spoken like a real marketer, by the way. So thank you, both of you. So
thank you
for having
us.
You know, you guys, all their social media platforms are put on the screen here. They're pretty easy to find. They're world famous. And for all of you, I just want to tell you how grateful I am for you for spending this time with me every single week. We're the fastest growing show in the world for a reason. And that's because you guys share this show with people that you think it can inspire, teach, motivate, and change their life. And so I'm grateful for all of you. Please continue to do that. God bless you and max out.
This is the Ed Milet Show.